Right, okay, so we just had Dave solo. Did we like it? Did we not like it?
Yeah!
We forgot to record it. The noise was good. Okay, so if you're a Dave, give us a big shout. Everyone knows a Dave, and here everyone is a Dave. Yeah, you're a Heather. Ah, someone knows what's coming. We're going to move swiftly on to Heather and the Unicorn. Can we have some noise if we believe in unicorns? Heather and the Unicorn. Do we believe in unicorns or not? Okay, can we have a big shout from the nose? We don't believe in unicorns. Okay, now can we have a big shout from the yeses? We do believe in unicorns.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The yeses are right and the noes are wrong. Even though there wasn't very many of them, and here's why. Here we go. Okay, my turn. Nice work. Right. Shh. Oi. Wait till the gaps. Granny, said the little girl, tell me that they're real. Beth, at school, she said they're not. I don't know how to feel. No, my child, no, they're not. They simply don't exist. Granny's eyes were soft and sad like rolling mountain mist. But what about the stories and the pictures in my book? There's unicorns on every page. Come and have a look. Granny dried the apples she'd been washing at the sink. Heather, darling, stop it. This is silly, don't you think? Why not come and help me make a lovely apple pie? But Heather didn't hear her. She'd crept away to cry. Unicorns weren't real, so had all her books been lying? Heather wasn't just upset. Inside, she felt like dying. She crawled beneath the stairs and sat, her chin upon her knees, and in the musty dark, she whispered, "Someone help me, please." The next thing Heather knew, she was lying down in bed. A monitor was bleeping. There was bandage round her head. Granny sat beside her in a lilac plastic chair. She looked like she'd been up all night. She hadn't done her hair. A nurse was standing solemnly. Granny's eyes were red. "The doctor saved your life," she said. "I thought that you were dead. I found you in the cupboard in a flood of silver paint. You must have knocked it over. You've had quite a nasty faint. But now you're getting better, and your head is on the mend. Tomorrow I shall take you home. I'll tell your little friend. He's been waiting in the corridor. He's ever so polite." "Arthur, yes, that's what he said. What a ray of light. Shall I send him in now? He's been waiting here all day. If you want some privacy, I'll send the nurse away." Heather weakly nodded, though she knew that when he entered, this boy would be a stranger. In this knowledge, she felt centred. Granny rose and took the nurse, and as they reached the door, Granny smiled warmly like she never had before. And then there was a silence, then the sound of someone's feet, and the someone wasn't Granny. Who was Heather going to meet? And here he was, the boy with eyes as dark as deepest space. On his wrist, a bracelet shining fractals on his face. "Hello, Heather," Arthur whispered. "Are you feeling better? This is not your time. So I've written you a letter. I cannot tell you everything, the things you want to know, but learning is a process and the pace is often slow." Heather couldn't speak, but only gaze upon his eyes and out into a cosmos of a trillion fireflies. Mountains grew, seas froze over, planets rose and shone. And Heather knew that this was where the unicorns had gone and where she too would one day venture, leaving Earth behind. And with it, all its concept, save for clarity of mind. "That's enough now," Arthur whispered, pushing her away. "Tell you what, I'll let you read some more another day. But next time, when you want me, you don't have to send your pain. It sometimes seems to ease your hurt, but it goes against the grain. If you send me feelings that I'm sitting right here with you, I'll be here before you think me. There is so much I can give you.